Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We want to thank you for listening to this chapel message. Our mission at Southeastern is to seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. We hope that you enjoy this chapel message and that you will visit our website. It's www.sebts.edu. There you can learn more about our school and what the Lord is doing here. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
Thank you for this opportunity to be here at Southeastern, and your president has put me at such ease. I felt permission to go over there to the piano, so my apologies to the music department. It's my first time here to this beautiful campus, and what a beautiful place the Lord has found for you to study and to prepare yourself to minister to God's people throughout the world, as well as to prepare students for ministry to the nations. I'm grateful for the few moments I spent with Dr. Aiken, minus talking about football. I'm really thankful for your leadership as I've sort of read up on Dr. Aiken and all of his journeys since he's been in the ministry. And I pray God's blessings upon you, sir, as you continue to lead this great seminary and our convention into the 21st century. I'm also excited about what God is doing in the nations as we send missionaries to all the world. This is a very strategic time in the history of our world. A lot of hungry and desperate people, desperate to hear some good news, desperate to hear hope, desperate to hear that they can be forgiven, desperate to find grace in the only name in the heavens, on the earth, under the earth, and that name is Jesus Christ. I'm an active duty chaplain in the United States Army. I serve at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. The building is about 17 miles of quarter and 26,000 people in a big building on the Potomac River. I'm one of about 2,800 Army chaplains that serve an army of 1.2 million soldiers, about 700,000 family members, and we have soldiers scattered in 80 nations throughout the world. Many of them this moment, as are our sister services, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, standing in harm's way so that you and I can be in this beautiful chapel and worship freely our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've been asked to share something about what chaplains do. I'll do that, but I'll also share something from Scripture, from Psalm 144. Actually, Alan read from 2 Samuel 22, which 144 is very similar. So I think God is doing something here in this room. There are several psalms that soldiers consider to be their own. One is Psalm 23. There are others, Psalm 91. But many, many, many times, and I will not read all of the Scripture, just the first couple of verses, and I'll refer back to this chapter. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He's my loving God, my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. Everywhere you'll find a soldier or a service member, you will find a chaplain. Chaplains are always there, bringing God to our soldiers and our service members and service members to God. Chaplains are there pastoring and preaching and mentoring and comforting and leading and shepherding souls of our service members. Ministry as a chaplain is just like any ministry that a pastor might experience. We nurture the living. We care for the wounded. We honor the dead. The interesting thing about military ministry that's maybe a little bit different is you have no idea where God may send you on a given assignment. You might be like Chaplain Dan Middlebrooks. Today he's at 10th Combat Support Hospital in Baghdad, Iraq, taking care of our wounded. Chaplain Matt Goff, another Southern Baptist chaplain, is with the 82nd Airborne Division in Bagram, Afghanistan. Pat Hash, a Southern Baptist chaplain, is with the Special Operations Community, ministering to our Rangers, our Delta Force, and our Special Forces community. Chaplain Ken Kerr, one of our Southern Baptist chaplains, is now at one of our largest hospitals, ministering up in Fort Lewis, Washington. He also at one time served at Arlington National Cemetery, where on a given day he would have to provide 12 to 15 funerals for our fallen warriors. You could be like Chaplain Larry McCarty or Chaplain Joel Jenkins. They are rear detachment. They work with the families of four deployed soldiers, taking care of their needs and in many cases going along with casualty assistance officers to let wives, husbands, moms and dads and children know that their loved one's not coming back home. This weekend, I will go up to West Point, New York, to the United States Military Academy. One of our senior Southern Baptist chaplains, Mike Durham, is there as the senior pastor at West Point. Chaplain Tim Wagner, an Air Force chaplain, is up at Dover, New Jersey, where our Joint Mortuary Affairs Center takes place. And his primary job is when our killed in action come from anywhere around the world, he is there as the pastor of that mortuary affairs facility. He has chaplains that stand at every station as our fallen warriors are honored for their service and sent home to their loved ones. I was there a few weeks ago, and I'll still remember what one of the chaplains said to me, because they serve in the autopsy room or the pathology room or the photography room. The chaplain says, "I've never felt that a mop is such a sacred article, but this is my place on the line in the mortuary." I received a note a couple of days ago from a chaplain, Jeff Massengill. You may have never heard of him. He's a young Southern Baptist chaplain currently serving in the Nuristan province in northeast Afghanistan near the Pakistani border. About three Saturdays ago, we got a note about 3 o'clock in the morning that terrorists had overrun their camp, killing a number of our soldiers, some of them still in their sleeping bags. 8 soldiers were killed and 15 were wounded. It was a very terrible day, one of our bloodiest. This is a note from his journal. "I was talking with a soldier who had shrapnel in his side, his right side, also in his foot, and a golf ball-sized hole in the right calf of his leg. Using all my wisdom and pastoral counseling skills, I asked the soldier, 'How are you doing?' The soldier said, 'I'm in pain a bit because I have refused the medications for the last 14 hours. There's other soldiers hurting here worse than me. And since we're short on medication, I can wait.'" That's sort of the heart and soul of these wonderful young men and women that we serve in the military. They're unbelievable. They're noble. They're strong. And one of the questions that we're asking right now as the Department of Defense is, how is their resilience? What is keeping them strong? Because we've been at this war for the last 8 years. We're entering our 9th year this month in Afghanistan, and there appears to be no end in sight. This is the third longest war that we fought as a nation. It's the longest war we have fought with an all-volunteer force, and it's been very costly. 5,233 officially recognized as killed in action since our invasion into Afghanistan. 30,000 wounded in action. We have 2 soldiers missing in action. We have probably about 1,200 amputees, at least single, in many cases, double amputees. And then we have what we refer to as these invisible wounds, which our soldiers carry. And anyone who's ever experienced a trauma, the ones that you can't see, the spiritual, the mental, and the emotional scars from a traumatic event, especially in war. And one of the reasons that I'm here this morning is because our Southern Baptist chaplains are sponsoring regional conferences for our institutional chaplaincies as we work with our caregivers, our chaplains, and how we can provide ministry to individuals who are suffering post-traumatic stress. And in many cases, our own chaplains are suffering post-traumatic stress. I have a number of chaplains who are hospitalized because of the trauma of war. A number of our chaplains, along with a number of our soldiers, have even taken their lives because of trauma. So we're working overtime with resources in our great nation to try to keep our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine, and coast guardsmen strong. And so that's what I want to just sort of posit with you for a few moments. What is it that keeps you strong? What is it that keeps our soldiers strong? Psalm 144 is the story of a soldier. A soldier struggling to remain resilient and strong in a time of conflict. We believe that this soldier, whose name is David, spent most of his life fighting somebody, fighting his enemies, some of whom were his own family members, fighting his fellow soldiers, fighting his inner demons that caused him to have a lapse in moral conscience, of which he lived with that the rest of his life, seasons of regret. And yet in the Lord God, he found relief, a sense of forgiveness and strength, peace and resilience in the Lord. There's four things in Psalm 144 that stick out to me. The first one I've read to you. David says, "Praise be to the Lord, my rock. He's the strength of my life." If you read David's lifetime and go into the scripture and look through the Psalms, you can see that David knew he could fight even against a troop, a lot of people, with God's help. He could scale a wall. He could run like a deer. He could climb high places. God is my rock. He trains me. He's my loving God. He's my personal trainer. I know God's abilities. He's my covenant God. He's my fortress. He's my shield. He's my stronghold, my deliverer. He believed that his God was able to fix anything in his life. Like Jesus Christ said, with God, all things are possible. He found a confidence and a strength in the Lord. And that's what you and I also have through Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He supplies all of our needs. We know in whom we have believed because he's able to keep that which we've committed to him against all things. When I think of strength, I think of a soldier, another one. He was a lieutenant colonel, Greg Gadsden. I met Greg about 3 years ago at Fort Myer, Virginia, sitting on a porch at a July 4th celebration. He had just come back from Iraq. A tragic thing occurred. He was en route to visit a memorial service for two of his fallen soldiers. And on his return back to his forward operating base, he hit an improvised explosive device himself. And it left him with a big decision. Both of his legs were mangled. One needed to be taken off and the other would require years of surgery. And Greg said to me, "Chaplain, pray for me. I've got to make a big decision tomorrow. They want to take my legs. They want to do a high cut. I don't know what to do. My wife said she doesn't care. She just wants her husband back." And so that's what decision he did make. He decided to trust in the Lord for strength, even though he might not be walking on his own legs. The next time I see him is months later at Walter Reed Hospital, in the center where we work with the disabled, our soldiers who are wounded. I walked into this track and I heard a soldier say, "Chaplain." It was Greg Gadsden. He was on his two appendages, his new legs. And he said to me, "Come walk with me." That was one of the most holy walks I've ever experienced in my life. To walk with a man who had found his strength in the Lord to make a hard decision. Strength to put on appendages that he was not born with. Strength to hold his head up so that he could encourage other service members who were also going through the same challenges. He found his strength in the Lord. The Lord is our strength in our times of weakness. Amen. Secondly, the Lord is our sustainer. He sustains us through life. David says in verse 3, "What is man that you care for him, the son of man that you are mindful?" Life is like a breath. Our days are like a fleeting shadow. How many days in this short time on earth do we just wonder if we can make it through the next exam, to make it through the day, to make it through the present situation? And what do we do for those sustaining moments? We cry out to God in our time of help when we are facing challenges, crisis, or combat. Jesus Christ in the garden praying, "Lord, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Have you found that sustaining power and strength through your relationship with God in Christ Jesus? I think today about another soldier, Sergeant First Class Dana Bowman. 1994, he was jumping with the Army's Golden Knights, and many times you've seen this. These guys are pretty cool. Jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, about 30,000 feet, and doing all kind of tricks in the sky. He was in Yuma, Arizona in 1994, doing a diamond track across the sky at 30,000 feet. At 300 miles per hour, he collided with his best friend, immediately killing his best friend in the air from the impact. And Dana's legs were both severed, one above the knee and one below. His parachute did not fully open, and so now he's on the ground. He lands. He survives the crash. He's rushed to the hospital. While he's laying there healing, thinking about the fact that his best friend is dead, he is now a double amputee. His wife says, "I can't handle this new change in you. I didn't marry you to be married to an amputee." So she leaves him. He thought about killing himself. If he'd gotten to something, he would. And yet, while he lay in that hospital bed and recovered, he found a sustaining power through his relationship in Jesus Christ. And 6 months after the accident, Dana's also jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. And today, Sergeant First Class Dana Bowman, retired, goes around the world encouraging amputees and our wounded warriors that regardless of what situation that they face, they can find a sustaining power through all crises in life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Have you found that sustainment through Jesus? Well, the next little term here that we see is the whole concept of security. David says in verse 9, "I will sing a new song to you, God. On the 10-string lyre, I will make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers us from the deadly sword." Security is a big deal. About a month ago, I was in Afghanistan, riding the streets, arguably the most dangerous streets in the world. They have only one road, a two-lane road in the entire country, in which our service members are trying to give them greater traffic ability. It's really a dangerous place. The day that I was there in the capital of Kabul, we'd had a lot of explosions on the road, a number of people killed. A sergeant comes up to me and says, "Chaplain, I'm not sure we can make it to the next trip. Maybe we just need to stay here in the camp." And there was something in my flesh that said, you know, maybe that's a pretty good idea just to stay here. I'll drink coffee and we can do it tomorrow. My escort says, "You've got soldiers waiting to see you, Chaplain. We can make it." So we get this vehicle. I have an up-armor Suburban. It's bulletproof. It's IED-proof for the most part. I have an escort of about 10 or 11 guys that have all kind of weapons hanging off of them. I've got a three-vehicle escort to go about a mile down the road. Guys willing to take a bullet from me because chaplains don't carry weapons. I'm wearing all this armor from my neck down almost to my feet. I feel pretty safe. While I'm in that vehicle, I get an email. Yes, BlackBerry's work in Afghanistan. You can Twitter from there. I get an email from one of my prayer warriors back here in the United States. Has no idea where I am. 8.5 hours time difference. And it only says this: "God is all the security that you need." Now, you may call that coincidence, but I'll tell you, at that moment, I needed to know that I had greater protection than all of the things that the army could provide for my need. You know, the scripture says some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. It's not by might or power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is a dangerous world in which we live. Just this morning, the little girl down in Florida, they found her broken body in a trash heap. Another 7-year-old. It's a dangerous place out there. But do you live in fear? Do you think all of the security on your cars and on your houses can protect you? We have security in a relationship with our Lord and our God. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The last time I was in Baghdad last year, I walked over to the chapel, and as I was going there, I heard the most beautiful music I'd ever heard in the world. It was five-part harmony, all men choir. And they weren't on the program either. I walked into the little chapel, and it was the Royal Tongan Marines. Anybody know where Tonga is? Well, they have some Marines that are warriors. They had just come into Iraq. The first place they stopped was the dining facility. And the Royal Tongan Marines can really eat. After they finished eating, their second place was to go to the chapel. And they just burst into spontaneous music. A cappella. Singing praises to Almighty God. Let me tell you something about the Royal Tongan Marines. When we get mortar attacks or rockets our incoming artillery. Most of us get in a foxhole or get low on the ground or go into a bunker. The Royal Tongan Marines go into a little war dance in a circle. And they run towards the sound of danger because as they give praise to God, they find His security is almost like a shield over them. It's part of their culture. Have you found security in the Lord? Finally, and I love this one, we find strength in the Lord for our resilience. We find sustainment as we turn all of our assets and attention to Him. We find security in the Lord Jesus Christ. But David says something else that's very important, verses 12 through 15. He finds satisfaction for all of his needs. I've been in the Army 36 years, 25 zip codes, a lot of travel. And it's almost like the place I just left is always the best place. I've learned to be satisfied wherever the United States Army sends me with a little set of orders. And that's sort of how ministry is going to be. And let me make sure you're aware of this. When you say, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And you right now you're thinking about those states or those places that you would not want to go. Be careful. David begins to pray to his God. And the scripture says, as I see it, he says, I'm satisfied with everything around me. I'm satisfied with my sons. My sons are like well-watered plants. They're strong and vibrant and healthy and productive. Who wouldn't want sons to be that way? Noble. Our daughters are like pillars carved adorning a palace. I'm satisfied that my daughters are elegant, stately, pure, strong, and beautiful. David said, my barns are full. I'm finding abundance, plenty of food and provision. I find security in the streets and safety at home and satisfaction in my heart. We of all people in this world as Christians who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord should be content. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians, I've learned to be content whether I'm rich or poor, healthy or unhealthy, in jail or out of jail. I've learned to be content. Are you content as a child of God? One last story. It happened last summer. Had an opportunity to attend a special ceremony at the White House. One of our soldiers received the Medal of Honor. Ross A. McGinnis, 19 years old, from Meadville, Pennsylvania. In 2006, Ross had been traveling with his soldiers in Adamiya, Iraq. He was sitting up on top of his vehicle in the cupola with his machine gun. And an enemy threw a hand grenade through the top of that cupola, a fragmentation grenade. And he had about 3 seconds to do something. Yell grenade and jump out. Or yell grenade and jump out. He didn't do that. He yelled grenade and he jumped down inside the vehicle. And braced his back against that fragmentation grenade, taking the full brunt of that explosion. Killing him instantly. And saving the lives of his 4 other soldiers who were in that vehicle. I talked with his mom and dad at the White House. They told me they were satisfied with Ross's decision that he made because he'd been a troubled youth growing up in an alternative school. But the Army had made him a man after about 18 months of training. They never knew that he was being trained to be a Medal of Honor recipient. They said he became a man almost overnight. We brought them then to the Pentagon and again expressed our appreciation for them raising such a fine son as Ross McGinnis. His dad stood up to speak and he put away his notes. And he looked at the 4 soldiers that Ross saved their life because for the past days, everyone had said, boy, you really should be lucky. Ross saved your life. Wow. God must have something really special for you. Here's what he said to those 4 soldiers. Don't look back at my son's act as a debt that you can pay me back. You can't bring my son back. Look at it as a gift from God to be received. Go out and enjoy your life. One soldier told me afterwards that since that explosion and Ross saving his life, he had learned to appreciate his family. He held his wife a little closer. He took time to look at his daughter's hair and smell how fresh it was. He took time to play with his youngest son. Another soldier, all of them would continue to tell me these stories, but each one had learned to be satisfied with what God had given them with his second chance. Are you satisfied in the Lord? Have you just taken a list of all the things God has done and is willing and promised to do for us? He promised to give us a sense of belonging. You have a sense of belonging here in this community. He promised to give us stable families and provide for all of our needs and to protect us against all of our fears and our enemies and to set us free from our enemies and to set us free from our addictions. To give us peace, security, and rest for our soul. God is our strength. He's our sustainer. He's our security. He's our satisfaction. We have found that in Christ Jesus. May you call on the Lord in your time of need. And may the Lord keep you strong in these areas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening to this chapel message from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you are thinking about theological education on the undergraduate or graduate level, including doctoral studies, we hope that you consider us. If you also find these chapel messages encouraging and a blessing to your walk with Christ, we hope that you will consider financially supporting Southeastern. Our graduates are literally serving the kingdom across this globe, working to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your gifts will help to train more, and they will serve as a worthwhile investment in God's kingdom. You can find more information about attending Southeastern or supporting us financially at www.sebts.edu. We covet your prayers and trust that God will bless every good work you do for His glory. Thank you for joining us in our chapel services.